Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Tom Lacovara Stewart here, and today's show is going to be, of course, it's Monday, Rudy and Aaron Davis of Year of Jubilee, that's with one E, like the King James Version, yearofjubilee.com, Lone Star 1776, here on Resurrected Republic, RTR Truth Media. He has a special presentation lined up for you today. I believe Mr. Shannon, the Montana Freeman, the untold story of government suppression, the news media cover-up. So I'm going to, of course, step back and work on some production matters. And Rudy, thank you for being here with us, Rudy, and your blessed, loved wife there. Aaron, God bless you, and thank you for being here. And go ahead and take it over.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. We really appreciate having a platform to speak about American political prisoners. And today's show will be on Rex Russell Dean Landers. I used to call him Russell Dean Landers, but he has corrected me. We have over 60 letters on yearofjubilee.com from Rex Russell Dean Landers, and he said, just call me Rex Russell Dean Landers. So we're going to abide by his wishes. And Mr. Landers has spent over 20 years, I believe it's 22 years, in a CMU hellhole. If you don't know what CMU is, that's a special place they send inspirational prisoners. And today's show, we've got some very special guests, and we want to cover some previous shows that we've also done regarding American political prisoners. But I think it's very important that we understand who Rex Russell Dean Landers is, the organization that he was a part of, the Montana Freeman, what happened back in 1996, and author Pat Shannon with any-world-report.org is with us today, along with Dan Peterson, who we're very honored to have. And I believe Dan Peterson also spent 20 years or thereabouts in a CMU Marion prison. Many of you know Schaefer Cox. Schaefer Cox spent a great deal of time in that same prison, that hellhole prison, before they moved him to Terre Haute, Indiana. But before we get to the interview today, I do want to talk about previous updates on previous American political prisoners that we have covered. We have talked about Yori Von Kaul and Scott Fall. Each one of those individuals has spent 35 years in prison. Both of them. Think about that. Let that sit in. I say the words very fast, 35 years in prison, and I go on to the next sentence. A man's life, Yori Von Kaul and Scott Fall, have spent 35 years in prison. Both of them are innocent. Both of them never received a fair trial, and we covered the details of that with Pat Shannon a few weeks ago. I pray that you go and find the movie Death and Taxes, The Untold Story of Gordon Kaul, and you should be bothered. The Bible says that we should remember our brothers in bonds, and we should treat them as we treat ourselves. And so it makes me mad that they murdered Gordon Kaul, and it makes me angry that Yori Von Kaul and Scott Fall have spent 35 years in prison. After Yori Von Kaul and Scott Fall, we covered the case of David Hinkson. I call him America's most provably innocent political prisoner. He spent 15 years in prison. He was born 100 years after Nikola Tesla, and they have framed this man on the false testimony of a valor thief, nationally shamed. We have an affidavit from his daughter that is he molested his own daughter, Elvin Joe Swisher. Even Megyn Kelly did a piece on Elvin Joe Swisher and called out this fake valor thief who went around parading as a Vietnam War veteran when he was no such thing, and he lied on the witness stand to put David Hinkson in prison. Is there other corroborating evidence that shows David Hinkson is guilty? Hell no, there's no other corroborating evidence. What has our country and our justice system come to when you can send a man to ADX Supermax prison for 43 years on the testimony, the false testimony of a lying valor thief named Elvin Joe Swisher? After that show, we covered Jeffrey Winehouse, who was shot four times, point blank, two times, bounced off his head with .40 caliber hollow point bullets. Two .40 caliber hollow point bullets went right through his chest. The Missouri Highway Patrolman, Sergeant Henry Folsom, tried to kill him, but God saved his life. There is an event going on in Jefferson City, Texas, I believe on the 22nd. You want to reach out to Pastor Wiley Drake, and you want to find out about that event and show up if you can and show your support for American political prisoner Jeffrey Winehouse. God worked a miracle. If you haven't seen that video, you need to watch that video. Two other things that I forgot to mention. Scott Fall has recently written and asked us to sign a petition. That petition is on our website, yearofjubilee.com. It's right at the front of the page. We also have a page for Scott Fall. And if you click on it and take that survey, it was written by Scott Fall, and he's asking us to take it. There's only 40 brave souls that'll take it. You know, the first thing God told Gideon was, anybody with fear, get them out of here, because fear is contagious. But there's another thing that's contagious, and that's bravery. So for the 40 brave souls who took the survey on behalf of Scott Fall, thank you for doing that. And then also I wanted to make you guys aware that David Hinkson has a petition out. That also is on our website, and we have 30 brave souls that signed the petition for freedom for David Hinkson. And then just last week, we interviewed Charles Dyer's mother, and we have a Marine who's sitting in a hellhole for over 8 years, who's absolutely innocent, that was set up by a viciously vindictive, pill-popping, adulterous Jezebel ex-wife who was in the middle of a savage custody battle. We went through all the details, and if that doesn't break your heart that Charles Dyer is sitting in prison for over 8 years, I don't know what will. But if you haven't figured it out, I'm just going to come out and say it. I hate the FBI. I've learned about how they murder, torture, entrap. They operate above the law. They interfere in the free and fair elections in this country. They have set themselves up. When I say they, I'm talking about the FBI in conjunction with a dirty Department of Justice. They have set themselves up as overlords of our society. And they stop.
Hey, Rudy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
May I say one thing?
You bet.
Welcome to America, comrade. We
you
have
bet.
The situation normalized.
You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, you'll hear me refer to this often, Tom, but he wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago about how they took dissidents all over the USSR and put them in hellhole prisons. It's going on right here in America, folks. We have a person on the show today named Dan Peterson that spent time in a hellhole prison, and all he did, he's an American hero. He stood up for our liberty. And we've got to wake up to this. We've got to stand up and give glory to God, and we need to organize. And you say, how do we organize? The Bible gives us a recipe for organization. If Christ be lifted, hold on, Mike. Yeah, my wife had a little technical difficulty.
I wanted you to take a breath. Take a deep breath, dear.
Take a deep breath. Well, I wanted to say, the Bible does give us the recipe for organization. It said, if Christ be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But we want to save as much time as we can for our very special guest, but Dan, with the board operator, could we please play clip one to give us an introduction to the Montana Freeman and what they're all about, or what the media says they're all about?
The answer is to cut both taxes and spending. You say that you would eliminate the IRS, the CIA, the Federal Reserve, the Department of Homeland Security, Medicare. I know that you used to want to end the FBI. I'm not sure whether you still support that idea, sir. Perhaps you can tell us. But if you get rid of the CIA, let alone the FBI, how would President Paul have any idea, any intelligence of what our enemies, foreign and domestic, are up to?
Well, you might ask a better question. Before 9/11, we were spending $40 billion a year. And the FBI was producing numerous information about people being trained on airplanes to fly them but not land them. And they totally ignored them. So it's the inefficiency of the bureaucracy that is the problem. So increasing this with the Department of Homeland Security and spending more money doesn't solve the problem. Yes, we have every right in the world to know something about intelligence gathering, but we have to have intelligent people interpreting this information. But, you know, just going for increasing presidential powers, as been discussed, is rather disturbing to me. This whole idea that we're supposed to sacrifice liberty for security, we were advised against that. Don't we remember that when you sacrifice liberty for security, you lose both? That's what's happening in this country today. We have a national ID card on our doorsteps. It's being implemented right now. We have FISA courts. We have warrantless searches. We've lost habeas corpus. We've had secret prisons around the world, and we have torture going on. That's un-American, and we need to use the power of the presidency to get it back in order to take care of us and protect this country and our liberties.
Thank you, Congressman. Let's see what the people...
In Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. And such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world.
Hello, I'm Dave McElhattan with an Eyewitness News special report. After 81 days of a standoff with the FBI, the Montana Freemen have surrendered. All 16 of the people inside the Justice Township compound have turned themselves over to federal agents. The 12 Freemen who face criminal charges will be taken to Billings for federal processing. Those charges include circulating millions of dollars in bogus checks and threatening to kill a federal judge.
We made no deals to drop or lessen the federal charges against anyone. Our posture from the very beginning was to build solid federal criminal cases and arrest everyone charged with a federal crime.
In the final moments of the standoff, the Freeman walked from a mobile home to meet FBI agents. One of the Freemen, Casey Clark, was seen shaking his father's hand before entering the FBI van. Events all day today have been leading up to this peaceful surrender. Earlier, a rented truck left the compound. Apparently, it carried some Freeman documents and other property. The Freemen believe that the government infringes on their personal and property rights. And reportedly, the group believes that some of the papers in that truck will help prove their claims.
Montana Freemen. A Christian militia group, the Montana Freemen, declared themselves exempt from the authority of the federal government. They believed in individual sovereignty and created their own government, currency, common law court, and banking system in Justice Township, Montana. However, they also committed a string of financial crimes. They used of counterfeit checks and even tried to buy $1.4 million of body armor and firearms on the U.S. District Court's account. When the Freeman's property was foreclosed upon in 1994, they refused to leave. In 1996, when the FBI stepped in and arrested two of the group's members, an armed standoff occurred, which ended up lasting 81 days. Eventually, the siege ended without violence. Leader Leroy Schweitzer was convicted of conspiracy, bank fraud, mail fraud, wire fraud, false claims to the IRS, interstate transportation of stolen property, threats against public officials, armed robbery of a television news crew, and firearms violations. He received a 22-year sentence for 25 convictions and died in prison in 2011.
All right, that was some of the media clips from the Montana Freeman back in 1996, and I want to set up the timeline here and then hand it over to Pat Shannon and Dan Peterson. But in 1983, we had the Gordon Call incident, and Ruby Ridge occurred in 1992. Waco occurred in 1993, the Oklahoma City bombing, which, by the way, the best documentary I've ever seen on that, even better than The Noble Lie, is Oklahoma City Bombing, Forerunner to 9/11, put out by Pat Shannon. So go check that out. And that occurred in 1995, April the 19th. And then Montana Freeman, I believe, occurred early in 1996. We are honored to have Pat Shannon and Dan Peterson on the line with us to discuss this important event in history. And I believe that the men and women of Montana Freeman are heroes of America. And it bothers my soul that Rex Russell Dean Landers has sat in prison for 22 years. And I hope that the audience who hears this can educate themselves about Rex Russell Dean Landers and help him get out of prison. But, Pat, I know you wrote the book on this literally, and we have someone who is there. So, sir, would you help us educate our audience about the Montana Freeman and some important highlights about that organization?
Yes. Hi, Rudy. You're coming in loud and clear at this end. How am I?
You're coming through perfect, Pat. Absolutely perfect.
Okay, great. Yes, I had... today I call it a privilege. I had the assignment back in 96, first of all, from Chuck Harder's We the People radio program to go to Montana and scope out what was going on in the middle of that siege. And then I went back in June after the release on June 13th. I was there by the following week and interviewed several of the Freeman in the Billings lockup. Dan Peterson was not one there, however. He had already been captured. He and Leroy were seduced into, I'll let him explain it, the stun gunning and stuff they got him. So since March 25th, for nearly 3 months, they had already been incarcerated and were being tortured and went through a lot. What you're going to hear today is kind of was unbelievable 20 years ago. Today it's not, with what has been exposed by the crimes and corruption of the FBI in the last year or two. But indeed, as we talked about on this show, it happened 35 years ago in 83 with the Gordon Call case, and where marshals and FBI agents were actually fighting in the chief's of police office in Medina, North Dakota, fighting over who would get to kill Gordon Call. Now, what kind of America is that? And then we go on to the other cases that you mentioned. And Oklahoma City had just happened a year before. So it was getting very corrupt. But the news media were so adept at keeping it covered up. We did not have benefit of an internet and email and mass correspondence and YouTubes in those days that we do now. We the people, I think, are getting a grip. We're starting to get ahead of this whole deal. We are not winning yet. We're not winning the battle because there are too many of your neighbors that watch too much of the TV on news and accept it all as truth. But it is improving. And the situation, as I began to mention 20 years ago, was just as bad as it is today. It just was more covered up and more corrupt. Which reminds me, I want to read you something up. And I quoted it in the Montana Freeman, The Untold Story book. But our old contact from Virginia, Kelly Hoskins, wrote a piece that I was so proud of 20 years ago. I grabbed it up and to quote here, and now I've turned the page and lost it. But I want to read this to you. It's a paragraph. Kelly Hoskins, he's about 90 years old, I think, by now. I don't see him. I don't think he's passed away, but he was a brilliant, brilliant man. And he said, unsophisticated observers sometimes ask, why won't the media blow the whistle and expose the king's transgressions? This was done in earlier days when there were countless locally owned. Are we running out of time?
We are. We'll be right back after
I'll do the quote when we get back.
That's okay. Right. We'll be back, folks, after a few words from our sponsors. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast. Tom Lacovara, Stuart, Rudy, and Aaron Davis with the Montana Freeman subject. We're gonna redistribute.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Russell Dean Landers. We go by Rex Russell Dean Landers, and we've got Pat Shannon and Dan Sullivan here.
Peterson.
I apologize. I really appreciate you guys. I was listening to you guys yesterday, and wow, you are an encyclopedia of knowledge. Thank you for joining us.
Amen, Pat. It's all you.
Well, back to the quote from Richard Kelly Hoskins, because it's a very applicable here for more than reasons than one. Unsophisticated observers sometimes ask, why won't the media blow the whistle and expose the king's transgressions? This was done in earlier days when there were countless locally owned county newspapers. Today, the mass media are owned by the international merchant. He selects the kings to be elected by the people by giving them publicity. He pulls kings down by simply ignoring them. The voters can only vote for candidates they know. They can do nothing else. They can only know those the media tell them about. They vote for the ones they know best, but the only ones they know are the ones publicized by the media owner. This means that the ones elected are, in fact, agents of the media owner. And back to that sentence where he said they can only know what the media tell them about, it's the same with government crimes in America. And once again, I repeat, with the benefit of the internet and email and mass communication and YouTube, we are able to expose this now as we never have before. And Dan Peterson has been a longtime friend of mine, mostly by telephone and letter over the past 20 years because of his incarceration. And he went through the mill with the whole bit from the Montana Freeman from the very beginning. So, Dan, I would like for you to start, not with your arrest, but back in the beginning of what were the Montana Freeman all about?
Well, we were a group of men looking for justice. And in my case, I was happened to learn all of this stuff. You know, I was 53 years old when I really got started in this, and the reason I got started was because I had loaned some tools to my son, and he went through a divorce, and they took my tools to pay off his debt, and they knew that they were my tools, but that was what started it, so I started looking for help, and I ran into Rodney Owen Skirdall and Leroy Schweitzer, and they started showing me some of this stuff, and I couldn't believe it. Before I had graduated from high school, got a little bit of college, and nothing adds. I wasn't taught this stuff, so I didn't do it to be vindictive or anything. I was looking for justice, and as we went along, there was more people that got involved, and the Clarks, for instance. There was
okay,
two brothers.
Dan, in what way were you? Did you? What action did you take to look for that justice?
Well, I started learning all of this that Leroy and Rod was showing me. They kept telling me, they said, don't believe anything that we tell you, but here's where it's found. And so I started reading, and it was blowing my mind that the stuff that was uncovered. And so then I started to, well, I was a real good friend with Ralph Clark. And this is where the final episode happened, was on the Ralph Clark property over at Brousette, Montana. And he had already went through the ringer in the 1980s. The federal government had said that he had sold encumbered property, and because he had a loan with the FHA. And Timer Moses was a good criminal lawyer here in Montana, and he proved that the federal investigator. And Timer Moses had him on the witness stand, and he said, "Are you sure that Ralph Clark is getting rid of all of this encumbered property?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I have all the evidence." So Timer Moses turned to Ralph Clark's wife, Kay, and asked her if she had a check in her purse, which she did. It was over $8,000. This guy was a sheep shearer, and it was a check that he was going to use to make payment. But then all of this came down on him. Anyway, when it was introduced as evidence, then the judge acquitted him or dismissed the case. And from that point on, then, after I'd learned this, because I had known Ralph ever since I was a little bitty boy, and these people, they got screwed, I got screwed, everybody gets screwed by the federal government, especially
okay, hold
the...
on, Dan. We've got our commercial coming on. We'll pay some bills.
Okay.
Resurrect the Republic. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast. We have special guests Pat Shannon and Dan Peterson discussing Rex Russell, Dean Landers. Thank you, folks, for joining us.
Yes, Dan, let's get to a little more meat of the subject for you and Russ were involved with by the time of early 1996 came along. And you were accused, or Leroy had discovered a way through the Federal Reserve System. Please explain why they wanted to, the enemy, the FBI, and Janet Reno wanted to call you bogus checks that you were writing, when in effect it was something that the Federal Reserve does every day within their own system. Let the people learn about
it. Amen.
Well, Pat, what the deal is Bank Officer's Handbook, we had got a copy of that from an attorney up in Lewistown. I don't recall his name right offhand. It'll come to me later. But anyway, in this Bank Officer's Handbook, I think it was in Chapter 12, and it said that a default judgment becomes an asset at a bank. Well, when you do a lawful court, you've got to have a complaining party, and you've got to send them notice, whether it be by a process server or by by certified mail. And when you take and do this, you give them a time limit to respond. And these people are so arrogant that what they did, they refused to answer when we asked them for their oath of office and their bond, because this is a requirement in order to hold a public position, such as city, county, state, or federal employees. All must have, they're under oath, or under, they're supposed to have a oath of office, but we found that they didn't. And when they didn't, then we took and sent them a default. And when they didn't answer the default becomes whatever you put down. They acquiesce to the law. And Leroy Schweitzer was the one that had figured all of this out, because he had sued the city of Belgrade, Montana, and the Gallatin County Sheriff Department when he was having a problem with them when he lived over in Bozeman. And he sued them in federal court. And Panama Paul, Paul Hatfield, the reason we call him Panama Paul was because he was a swing vote that gave away the Panama Canal to the Chinese. But anyway, mm-hmm. he was the one that took and opened up the account in the Norwest Bank in Butte, Montana, for Leroy Schweitzer. He said, it looks like the guy wants to make a deposit in court. Well, that's what you do when you take and you put your funds up front. You have to basically start the bond of action. Anyway, as time went on, then we discovered in Montana Code annotated, it says that any business, whether for-profit or non-profit, shall be registered with the county clerk and recorder and the secretary of state in the in their principal county and where their state, where their business is being handled. Anyway, we looked and looked and looked for the Norwest Bank articles of incorporation, and we couldn't find it. There wasn't one in all of Montana.
Wow.
And I had used Norwest Bank all my life, and you know, I didn't know all of this stuff. But then when I started reading this stuff, then I started wondering what the heck was going on. Well, as things progressed, we eventually found their articles of incorporation that was in St. Paul, Minnesota, and the principal stockholders was the People's Republic of China.
Wow.
Now they have taken over as, and now they're Wells Fargo. And Leroy had sued them, and whenever somebody takes over another entity, they assume all assets and liabilities of whoever they're taking over. So, but they changed their names to Wells Fargo after we had uncovered all of this stuff.
I see.
And
all right.
It's one thing and another was, and then we found out that this Tommy R. Kennedy, he was an FBI agent that was sent out from Chicago up to Glasgow, Montana, to start investigating these murders and missing children off the Indian reservations. We have 7 Indian reservations here in Montana. But he changed his mode of operation, and he got in cahoots with Jack Shanstrom, who was the federal judge, and they decided to come after the Montana Freeman because we were right, and we had established our own court system, and we had developed the Justice Township, because in the Montana codes it shows how to make the township. And the reason that we did it over at Ralph Clark's place was because his property, they were laying claim on it, which they didn't have. And the reason they were laying claim and wanted Ralph Clark out of their hair was because on his property is one of the largest dinosaur deposits in the North American continent. And this is what these people wanted. But it's also part of this Balkan oil down below all of this is the Balkan oil. So we figured out how all of this was happening and why it was happening. But I, like I said before, I got involved because they had taken my tools that I had loaned to my son, and they named me on a divorce decree with my son against his wife, who had filed for divorce. And the reason they did was because he didn't have any property. So they were taking property to pay his debt. And I couldn't figure out how
What did you do to retrieve them, or attempt to retrieve your tools?
Well, I sent everyone involved a notice that the tools had been unlawfully taken, and they were all aware of, and they were all entering into a conspiracy to help take these tools. And when I did that, I sent it to them, gave them time to come forward, and there was some of them were county commissioners, there was a couple of sheriffs, and then there was some judges. All of this was done through the lien process, but when you take and look up the word lien in Black's Law Dictionary, it says it's a claim, and then when you look up claim, it says it's a lien, so they're synonymous.
Uh-huh.
And this is what we were using out of this bank officer's handbook, because we were setting up our own court system, and we had it registered with the county clerk and recorder in Garfield County, and also with the Secretary of State in Helena. And it scared the bejesus out of them because of the fact that we were going common law. And you have to have a complaining party before you can have any time of a court system, even with
sir, how dare you as a free American man declare a little bit of independence and use the law by which it was intended? Such a horrible citizen you are. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no wonder they went after you.
Well, I guess I didn't quite understand the Declaration of Independence, where it says that whenever a government gets corrupt, it's a right, the duty, and the obligation of the people to throw it off. But the thing that really backs that Declaration of Independence that our founding fathers wrote to establish our constitutional government was the Montana Constitution. Article 2, Section 2 of the Montana Constitution says the very same thing. And it says that the people are the sovereign of the state, and it's their right and duty to throw off a corrupt government whenever they deem it necessary. And that's what we did. We threw off the form of government, which is a democracy. We want to go under a republic. And we threw off the democracy by using their own law against them, and they didn't know how to use this, other than the fact that then they jumped jurisdiction. The jurisdiction supposedly lied with the state, and Nikki C. Mernion, the county attorney in Garfield County, then he joined up with the FBI and turned jurisdiction over to the feds. And again,
so can I ask a question here real quick? This is Tom. So the county recorder, the county basically allowed you to file this thing. They never notified you or informed you that they were alleging that there was anything that you were doing wrong. And they turned this over to the FBI and allowed them to build a political case against you. Is that kind of like a short synopsis of the events?
Yes, that's pretty much the way it was, yes.
Well, what happened? One more question. What happened to all of your collected evidence that was being stored at the courthouse?
Well, it wasn't stored at the courthouse. It was stored out on at Justice Township. We had set up a school, and we had our own files and file cabinets, computers, and everything. And it was all turned over to a guy by the name of Carl Ose, who was a state legislator, and it was put in a Ryder truck when the people came off after the 81, or right after the 81-day standoff. And it was turned over to him, and as soon as it crossed the imaginary line, the FBI confiscated it and said it was contraband. So it was never, it was our evidence, and it was never introduced as into any court. They wouldn't let it come in.
And so not only did the FBI confiscate all of your discovery, which is potential exculpatory evidence, and that's reminiscent of these Brady violations that we're seeing exposed now all the time.
Exactly.
But they denied you that at trial. Therefore, they denied you exculpatory evidence at trial under the Brady rule. That would be not only willful, because they knew they were doing it, intentional, but that's also, you know, if they've destroyed the evidence, is remains to be seen. But these are crimes that the FBI committed.
Well, of course, but then the Justice Department was in on it too, and it's the prosecuting federal attorney's blood, but then the judges, and when I was in prison, and the CMI unit in Marion, Illinois, I wrote to the court to get the documentation on the voting of the grand jury, and I got back a letter from the clerk of the court, and it said all of that had been destroyed. It was shredded by a judge by the name of Richard Siebel in 2012, which was way after the fact, but I've got all of the evidence. I've got all of that, and another thing I have is in the court docket, it says complaints, none. Well, if we threatened a federal judge, how come wasn't he the complaining party? It says the United States is the complaining party. So when I was in prison, when I would see a warden or a guard or anything like that, I would ask them if they were part of the United States, and they'd always say yes. And I say, well, did I damage you in any way? Well, no. Well, then who's the damaging party?
The
States. And the same thing that they've done with the Bundys and the Hammonds out in Oregon, and thank God for Donald Trump. We're starting to get some daylight, maybe. But
Dan?
Yes.
Can you explain briefly to us third graders what the charge, I think the coup de grace, was when you leaned those judges. That was too much because they found out the liens were real and they couldn't get rid of them. Tell us how that worked.
Well, whenever you put a claim on somebody, you have to register it. It has to be registered with the Secretary of State. And then it filters down to the county where their property is. This is used Uniform Commercial Code. It says that this is their instructions, a Uniform Commercial Code, but you have to use their forms, and that's why all of these bank foreclosures and everything are null and void, because there is none of this paperwork on file with the Secretary of State nor with the county clerk and recorder wherever they're doing their foreclosure. But we have filed all of this. When I leaned up the county commissioners and the sheriffs and whatnot, I did it in my home county, Petroleum County, and then I had about an hour session with the county commissioners the very same day that I had filed, and the district court judge, he was there that day, and he tried to stop it, when I was dealing with the county clerk and recorder, he came in, and she was also his district court clerk. But anyway, he came in, and he patted her on the rear end while he walked by, and he says, "You don't have to take this man's harassment." And I asked him, excuse my language here, guys, but this is what I said. I said, "Who in the hell are you? Are you God or somebody?" I said, "I suggest you shut up and go sit down." Well,
good for you.
Behind her again and patted her on the rear end, and then he started digging through my papers, and I said, "Excuse me." I said, "Don't you understand? Those are still private papers, and until this lady takes my funds, they will be private, but when she takes them, they will become public, and you can read them then." But I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you permission to read the very top one because it happens to be yours. And he turned as red as a beet, and he went and shut up and went and sat down. But that claim was put on.
Did he get it first?
We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of years. With no provisions, but in no faces.
Welcome back, folks. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Pat Shannon, Dan Peterson, and we're discussing Russell Dean Landers today.
With the Montana Freeman, and regarding the comments about the exculpatory evidence, it's not that they just withhold exculpatory evidence, they destroy it. We've seen that in the Schaefer-Cox case. where they had an audio that would have exonerated Schaefer Cox, and they absolutely asked the FBI informant who took that audio to destroy that evidence. So this is a big deal. This is how they win in court, because they can't win with a fair trial.
I believe in
this particular case, and this is a number I would like for maybe Dan or Pat to confirm, they brought in over 600 FBI agents with the Montana Freeman. That's quite an amount of FBI agents. But
that's a fact. But they were rotating. They all 600 were not there all at one time. But Janet Reno had that many employed during the 81 days.
Wow. Okay, Pat, it's all you, and thank you for confirming that.
Yeah, Dan, this is a short segment here, but you got plenty of time, I think, to tell us the amusing story of the judge that ran out of the courtroom. Tell us that one.
Well, there are so many things, Pat, but after he ran out of the room when I had told him to sit down and shut up, well, then the county commissioners, their room was like about 6-7 feet away from the county clerk and recorder's desk, and so I poked my head in and asked him if I could have a few minutes with them, because I had liens on all of them too, because in my county is it's under the county commissioner form of government, and it does not elect the sheriff nor the county treasurer or clerk and recorder. The only elected officials are the county commissioners and the justice of the peace, okay? So I asked them if I could have a few minutes with them, and they said yes. Well, I had sent them a copy and told them that I wanted them to come and help me to retrieve my tools that had been taken by this judge and whatnot like that. And one of the county commissioners said, oh, he dug in his briefcase and he pulled out his lien, and he flipped it out on the desk and says, how would you like to work all your life and then get chicken shit stuff like this? And I said, excuse me? I said, Bill, have you ever done anything chicken shit in your life?
Beep.
Well, this guy seemed, he was a relative of mine. And he looked at me, and he dropped his eyes to the floor, and he finally says, yes, I have. And I said, well, thank you. All I'm asking for is you to help me get my tools back and get some justice. And he said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I would resign before I would take and get rid of the judge. I said, have you got a piece of paper and a pen? We can get that in writing. Well, that really upset him. And the other two county commissioners, they just sat there. They were dumbfounded because they didn't, you know, and so I kept asking them for their oath. Well, they didn't have one. They didn't have one on file with the county clerk and recorder. They didn't have a bond. They don't have anything that is mandatory for any city, county, state, or federal officers. And this is what... this was one of the things that we hinged all of this on, and even the FBI agents have to have an oath and a bond.
No, might as well be.
Hour, Dan, we got to take a break here.
Yeah, they might as well be a bunch of communists. It's a corrupt gangster government, it sounds like he was dealing with. Folks, we'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast, second hour. Lone Star 1776, Rudy and Aaron Davis on the Montana Freeman.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction.
Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.